The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you are having a good morning. Today is the last day of September. It is shutdown day. If our elected officials don't come up with a deal, it seems like they are polls apart between what the Republicans want and what the Democrats want. So we will wait and see. This could be a game of chicken. I was looking at some of the issues. Obviously, we don't want to support spending billions of dollars on health care for people who are in this country illegally, and what Trump had in the Big Beautiful Bill, it tightens up people getting things from the government. You have to prove that you're looking for a job, those kinds of things, to get unemployment and things that make sense to me. You may have a different opinion, but I think those things make sense. And I was trying to remember where I heard this, but you know, the idea, I think it was Milton Friedman, the economist, he said, you know, health or giveaway programs sound good, and giving people free food, free health care, all these freebies, it sounds good, but it's not beneficial in the long run. The Bible's very clear. If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. As you've heard me say over and over and over again, we are to help those through the church, not so much through government, but through the church, help those who cannot work because of physical disabilities and things like that. Help those who cannot work. We don't help those who will not work. And we don't provide free food, free housing, free this, free that, free the other for people who are able-bodied and just choose not to work because they'd rather just have it for nothing. Doesn't help them. It doesn't help society. And so, you know, we are personally responsible before God. I was reminded about the parable of the talents, and the parable in Luke, parable of the talents is Matthew 25, and the parable of the minas is Luke 19. And it's interesting. So the guy that had the one talent, buried it in the ground, didn't do anything with it. The Lord takes the one talent and he takes it away from the guy and gives it to the guy that has 10, that took his 5 talents that he was initially given and made 5 more. And so the Lord takes the talent from the one and gives it to the guy that had 10 because he was productive. The Lord takes the one mina in Luke 19, the guy that didn't do anything with it, and gives it to the guy that was the most productive. Now, this idea that DEI and we make all the outcomes similar is you would take from the guy that has done well and give it to the guy that hasn't done anything. But that's not biblical. That's not how the Lord does it. So I want to talk to you today about this subject, telling people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. You know, it says in the book of Isaiah chapter 30 that the people said to Isaiah the prophet, prophesy to us illusions, speak to us pleasant words. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. We don't want to hear about God's holiness. We just want you to tell us words that make us feel good. We want the feel-good sermons, Isaiah. Get with the program. Well, the Apostle Paul, in the last letter that he ever wrote, 2 Timothy, the last chapter that he ever penned by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he tells Timothy and he tells all the pastors and preachers that would follow I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, what are we to do? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. That's the day and age in which we live. People, they want to have their ears tickled. They want you to tell them how wonderful they are. Just tell me more and more about how much God loves me. And don't tell me any about his holiness. Don't tell me anything about his requirements. Don't tell me that he says to us, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't tell me that he says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. I want to live however I want to live and just want to have God's favor upon me. You know, that's a word that people really like. Oh, God's favor, God's favor, God's favor. Well, I want to have God's favor and blessing on my life too. How do you get that? Well, you get yourself on blessing ground. You walk in the light as he himself is in the light. And for preachers, it is so important for us in this day and age to speak the truth in love. Meg Bashan, whom I follow on X, and she's been on the program before, and she wrote the book Shepherds for Sale, great book, and just exposed. She's bold, like Jenna Ellis and like others. She exposed the corruption that is in the ministry, and these pastors and quote-unquote shepherds, hirelings mostly, she exposed many of them for, you know, prostituting the truth and watering down the truth, and boy, she got blistered for it. But she posted something the other day, this guy's sermon. He was talking about Charlie Kirk and, you know, just... it's just so wishy-washy, and talking about how I know there are a lot of you out there that didn't like him, and I understand, and we feel for you. We just, you know, we are against anybody getting murdered. Gee. But he was, you know, it's just so middle of the road, apologetic. Well, she posted his whole sermon. So she said, well, you know, lest you think I'm just cherry picking, you can listen to the whole message. So I clicked on it. I could get through about 5 minutes. He was talking about Genesis 1:27, that God made them male and female. Genesis 1:27, I'll quote it specifically and get every word right, New American Standard. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Very foundational. Very specific. I mean, it's true biologically. It's true commonsensically. It's true scripturally. There are only two genders, male and female. Well, this guy was going to talk about that verse, and he was so grieved. Now, that's my interpretation of how he was presenting it. It just seemed like he was grieved in his heart that he was going to have to share Genesis 1:27. Oh, I know some of you out there, this is going to be very, very hard for you to hear. And I just want you to know, and I'm not quoting him, I'm just telling you this is what kind of came off just by listening the first 5 minutes. I just want you to know that, you know, I feel for you, and we feel for you, and we know this is a struggle, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, good grief. Why are you apologizing for something that is so very basic? I heard another Baptist pastor is talking about Romans 1. He's talking about homosexuality. This was a few years ago. And he's like, oh, this is the hardest message I've ever had to preach. And it's just going to be so difficult for me to get through this. And he told them the truth, but it was like almost like he was apologetic that it was in the Bible. that God condemns homosexuality in the Bible. I wish I could say this in another way. And he was quick to say, but that's just one sin. You know, we have sins over here, and the church is to be condemned for making this the unpardonable sin and overlooking these other sins. And obviously, homosexuality is not the unpardonable sin, but you don't have to apologize for the Word of God. You're a herald, especially for a preacher. You're a herald for the King. You say, "Thus says the Lord." You don't love people more than God does. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Greater love has no one than this, Jesus said, that one laid down his life for his friends. God loves people way more than you do. And so your job is just to share what the King has said. Now, I read this today in my quiet time, Jeremiah 25, and this is such a great word. Actually, Jeremiah 26, I'm sorry. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the year is 609 BC, the son of Josiah. Josiah was good King Josiah who led a lot of the reforms, needed reforms in Israel. He was killed by Pharaoh Necho at the Battle of Carchemish. And King of Judah, this word came from the Lord saying, "Thus says the Lord." Now listen to this. "Stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah who have come to worship in the Lord's house. Speak to them all the words that I have commanded you to speak to them. Do not omit a word. Perhaps they will listen, and everyone will turn from his evil way, that I may repent, change my mind, of the calamity which I am planning to do to them because of the evil of their deeds. And you will say to them, 'Thus says the Lord,' if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have been sending to you again and again, but you have not listened. Then I will make this house like Shiloh." Shiloh was destroyed, utterly destroyed in 1 Samuel chapter 4. "I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city I will make a curse to all the nations of the earth." The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. When Jeremiah finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, "You must die." Isn't that interesting? They're hearing from God. Jeremiah is faithful to tell them not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. He's not tickling their ears. He's speaking to them the truth, and he's letting them know judgment is coming, and it's going to be severe. And the Lord is saying, "Hey, I'm going to bring Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they're going to clean your plow. That's going to be the tool for my judgment unless you repent and you get right. And you do what Nineveh did in Jonah chapter 3. They received the preaching of Nineveh, and they put on sackcloth and ashes, and they fasted, and they repented, and they cried out to God for mercy. They said, who knows, God may relent concerning the calamity that he said he was going to bring upon us. And the Bible says when God saw how they responded, that he relented, and he didn't do the things that he said he was going to do. You know, God, I've said this many times, but the Lord wants to save. He doesn't want to judge. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, John 3:18, but that the world might be saved through him. God wants to save. He doesn't want to condemn. We get this weird idea that God takes delight in condemning people. He doesn't. He says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32, "Do I have any pleasure in the death of anyone who dies? No. Therefore, repent and live." That was John 3:17, by the way. "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." People need to hear the truth, and we are commanded to speak the truth in love, and we don't, as preachers and as Bible teachers and as witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to be faithful heralds. We want to tell people, thus says the Lord. And we let the chips fall where they may. People are going to respond however they respond. But our job is to be a watchman on the wall and to sound the alarm and let people know judgment is coming unless we repent. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries, heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about telling people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Telling people, thus says the Lord. As I said yesterday, truth is not what you think, it's not what you feel, it's not what you want it to be. Truth is what God says. John 17, verse 17, Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. We live in a world just swimming with lies and fake news and deceptions galore. And it makes shouldn't surprise any of us, because the devil is a liar and the father of lies. He's the prince of the power of the air. Don't let the world, Paul says in Romans 12, 2, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Hey, if we're not spending time in the Word of God and conditioning our mind to think biblically and see the world from a biblical lens and a biblical perspective, guess what? We are going to be deceived. And I think that's one of the great legacies of Charlie Kirk, is he was engaging people to see the world from a biblical perspective, a biblical lens. Did that mean he was right about every single solitary subject? No. But he made a good case. He was a good debater to at least engage in the way he viewed things. And I need to do a little more research on his view on Israel. And incidentally, my friend Dr. David Allen is going to be on the program this coming Friday, and we're going to talk about Israel, because we hear a lot about Israel, and has the church replaced Israel? Does God still have a plan for Israel? You know, the Tucker Carlson issue with Ted Cruz and calling him out, and you know, doesn't seem to be very pro-Israel. I played the clip yesterday from Benjamin Netanyahu, where he said, of course, we are the descendants of Abraham. We are the nation of Israel that God formed and told Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. And Abraham has the son of miracle birth, Isaac, and Isaac has Esau and Jacob, and God chose Jacob, and Jacob's name gets changed to Israel, and he has 12 sons, and we know them as the 12 tribes of Israel. And Israel today is that part of that descendancy, and they are the nation that God promised in Genesis 12 that he would make of Abraham a great nation, and we support Israel. Israel is the apple of God's eye. So we're going to talk about that this Friday in depth with Dr. David Allen, who Dr. David Allen is one of the smartest guys I know, theologian and prolific author and preacher and all around great guy. He really works to help preachers in their preaching. Well, I ran across a clip from Victor Davis Hanson. Victor Davis Hanson is a military historian. He's an author, a conservative political commentator, and the senior fellow at the Hoover Institute. And this is what he had to say concerning what we are getting ready to face. I think today is a good example. The fight over the government shutdown is a good example of what we are going to face in mass in the days ahead.
We're watching the greatest counter-revolution in some 90 years. We have not seen any president try to radically change the political calculus and the nature of government since FDR did it during the New Deal. Donald Trump is winning on all of these social and cultural issues. People are angry about this counter-revolution for two reasons. Because it's working and it's succeeding beyond anybody's wild expectation. And what do I mean by that? Donald Trump closed the border. Nobody thought he could. He closed it. The Wall Street Journal said we would be in a recession now. Tariffs would cause a trade war. We would see the stock market collapse. The opposite has happened. The universities are rushing and competing with each other to cut a deal with Donald Trump. Abroad, we see that Iran no longer poses a nuclear threat. We're going to see in the next year a frenzy, a frantic, almost out of mind reaction from the left. Brace yourself. It's going to be fierce and unhinged.
So that last little bit there, we're going to see people are angry because it's working, and we're going to see a fierce and unhinged attack from the left. You know, it's just required for me to say this. The people on the left, not everyone on the left, but many of the people on the left are unhinged. They are angry. They are demonized. Some of them demon possessed. And the devil does not like what is happening in America. He does not like a return to law and order. God is a God of order. And the devil doesn't like that. He never ceases to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And what does he do? He demonizes, just like the devil. He calls you what he is. So he's going to demonize the other side. And, you don't love people. You hate people. You're a hater. You're this. You're that. You're the other. Why wouldn't so many of the Democrats support honoring Charlie Kirk? Well, because he's a despicable person, as Ilhan Omar said. You know, he belongs in the dustbin of history. AOC on Charlie Kirk, he said, you know, terrible things about him. He's a racist. He's a bigot. He's a homophobe. He's a, you know, misogynist. All these terrible things. They just start throwing out all those slurs about somebody that they disagree with. Charlie Kirk wasn't any of those things. If you were really watch those debates that he had with people, I mean, he was a formidable opponent in a debate. He was very good at that. He had a mind like a steel trap, and he could recall things. He was very, very smart, and his ability to recall things was unbelievable. But he wasn't hateful to people. He was speaking the truth in love. And what do? They have to lie about him. And they have to spin things that he said, take them out of context, and then lie about it. Now, I think this is interesting. John chapter 10, verse 20. This is what they said about Jesus. He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? And some Jews responded and said, these are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? So John chapter 10, Jesus opened the eyes of the man born blind. And then they're still talking about it in the next chapter. But they said that about Jesus. He has a demon and he is insane. Well, if you're going to believe what the religious leaders of the day said about him, that's what you would think. If you didn't do your own research, if you didn't go listen to Jesus, you would just take, well, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, they told me he has a demon and he's insane. And so I'm gonna march and protest. And, you know, as you've seen, no doubt, on some of the videos where a person will interview some of the protesters. What are you protesting? What does your sign say? Well, they don't really know what they're protesting. They paid me to come here, hold this sign. I don't know. They gave me this sign. I didn't make this sign. I mean, it's not a grassroots protest. It's a paid protest. I would really like to have the government investigate who's paying for all this. Who's paying for these people to protest? You know, we have the right to protest in our Constitution, but I don't think the Founding Fathers ever envisioned people being paid to protest. And to me, that's you're just fomenting violence and unrest, and you're not doing what is in the best interests of the country when you're doing that kind of stuff. Very obvious, big difference. I've said this after the Charlie Kirk assassination. You can see who is on the Lord's side and who is not. Those lines of demarcation are very, very clear today. And what did the conservatives do? And listen, not all conservatives are Bible-believing Christians who are speaking the truth in love as it relates to Scripture, but all Bible-believing Christians who love the Lord and love the Word of God are going to be conservatives. They're not going to be liberals. They're not going to be for the transgender insanity. They're not going to be for abortion. They're not going to be for open borders. They're not going to be for all these giveaway programs where you give to people who will not work. As I said in the first segment, you give to people who cannot work, not people who will not work. And so much of what is in the very platform of the Democrat Party, a conservative Bible-believing Christian would say, I can't support that. I saw a video, I think a week or so ago, a black guy was saying, hey, I've been a Democrat all my life, but no more. He said, I just can't hang with this. I can't go along with what they're doing. Now, Bill Maher, I played a clip from Bill Maher yesterday, and Bill Maher is still a liberal, calls himself a liberal. I don't see him becoming a conservative anytime soon, but he does call out the Democrats for being hijacked by the fringe lunatic section of their party. And he said that's never going to win. And the bulk of Americans aren't going to go along with that. They're not for biological men playing in women's sports and all the other things that go along with that. And, Bill Maher was the guy who said that he can understand the absolutist position when it comes to abortion because they think abortion is murder. He said they don't hate women. They think that little baby at the time of conception is a person. And they think abortion is murder, and they're opposed to murder. And he actually said this, and they are kind of right, but that's okay with him. He said, there are 8 billion people in the world. Sorry, you didn't make it. That was his cold-hearted response to the murder of the unborn. Well, I appreciate the fact that he is honest, but obviously it's ghoulish. You don't kill an unborn baby. You protect the life of the unborn. So, Victor Davis Hanson, get ready, because people are angry, and the enemy of our souls, who is fueling all this, the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. 1 John 5:19. He is going to come at the people of God and of conservatives. He's going to come with both barrels. Now, I heard a clip from Josh Howerton. Josh Howerton, I mentioned him yesterday. He's the pastor at Lake Point in Rockwall, Texas, and a young guy. He's about 20 years younger than I am, but I really like him. I like what he stands for. He's a great preacher, and he stands up for the truth. He had this to say. I thought it was very insightful.
Literally any pastor in America knows what I'm about to say is true. They just have not grappled with the reality and the implications of what I'm about to say. If you want the advancement of the gospel and the growth of the church to get significantly smothered in your state or your city, here's all you got to do. Let it go blue. That's simply what data shows. I'll say it like this. Show me a map of the most progressive areas in our nation. Then show me a map of the areas in our nation that have the fewest churches. It's the same map. So my point is that the advancement of generally and correctly defined political conservatism, it is a significant and powerful force for pre-evangelism, because it installs a plausibility structure in the populace that leads to intuitively understanding Christianity is true, right, and good. So yes. I would say in order to accomplish the Great Commission, we need to advocate for it at the political level. And I know this sounds like super weird and even cringe for like my seeker-sensitive megachurch pastor world. That's the world I came from, and I have a lot of affinity for that world. But actual data is showing us this, that when political conservatism spreads, more people become Christians. And when political progressivism spreads, less people become Christians. There's a reason for this. The New Testament talks about laws. The book of Galatians talks about laws. It talks about the law as a teacher. What people do not understand is that laws in a nation, they have what Christians have historically called a didactic function. Laws do not simply legislate right and wrong. They teach the populace what's right and wrong. Laws calibrate the consciences of a nation. If you start swimming in the streams of truth and liberty, you're eventually going to find its source. Conservatism in general calibrates the conscience in such a way that it pushes people toward the God from whom the principles came. Progressivism, whether you like it or not, this is just a fact. Progressivism is built generally upon a secular Marxist view of human nature, economics, governance. So what progressivism does, particularly secular progressivism, is it calibrates the consciences of people away from what is true, right, and good, and it teaches people to call evil things good and good things evil. And you can do that with abortion, with gay marriage, with trans stuff, with redistribution of wealth, all the things, literally all the things.
That was Josh Howerton, and very well said. I like the way he put those two things together. I think that's one of the things that Charlie Kirk did. People didn't like that about him. Oh, he's just a pro-Trump, pro-MAGA person. Don't listen to him. And he's trying to promote Christian nationalism and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they use that as a pejorative. I like what I think Bodie Baucom said. He said, what do we want? We don't want Christian nationalism? Do we want Muslim nationalism? Do we want Hindu nationalism? I mean, what do we want here? Do we want globalism? Do we want to just lose our independence? Of course, our country was founded on Christian, Judeo-Christian principles, on the Word of God, and we want that to flourish. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give me a call and let's talk.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about telling people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And it's important for us as Christians to be able to distinguish between what is true and what is false. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food, the meat of the word, is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, where you get your news sources is important. I was listening to a man on the street interview, and somebody, some progressive was yelling at this conservative, and, well, you just listened to Fox News, and the conservative said, well, what news do you listen to? And they're like, CNN? It's like, good grief. I mean, CNN wrote the book on how to spin things to the left. They're the fake news on of legacy media. And the other ones follow suit, but CNN, MSNBC, they seem to be the worst. And so here's where I come from on that. If you lie to me, and I know you are lying to me, and you are caught lying to me, and you never make it right, then you are an unrepentant liar. I'm not going to believe anything else you say because you just lie through your teeth. Van Jones, I loved how Megyn Kelly called him out. He was talking about Charlie Kirk, called Charlie Kirk a racist because Charlie Kirk said that the guy on the light rail in Charlotte, North Carolina, who stabbed the Ukrainian girl in the neck, was a racially motivated murder. And he said, how dare he say something like that, black guy killing a white girl? And, well, he said it because the black guy said, I got that white girl, I got that white girl. Now, if that had been reversed, everybody on legacy media would be going nonstop about that. It would be another George Floyd situation. Cities would be burning, protests everywhere. Look at these racists. But it just gets swept under the rug when it's the other way. And it's obviously a racially motivated murder. And when the guy actually says, I got that white girl, I got that white girl, I mean, you don't have to be a whiz bang to put two and two together there. I mean, it was sick. It was demonic. Anybody that would do that, you know, you can say all you want about mental illness. There are demonic powers involved in stuff like that. And no one does that without hearing voices from and being influenced. I'm not saying that guy was demon possessed, although he might be. But he was definitely demonized. And we don't put enough emphasis on the unseen spiritual world and the things that are taking place. You know, we know that there are angels and we know that there are demons. And demons are fallen angels. The one third that participated with Lucifer, rebelling against God, two thirds stayed true to the Lord, one third went with Satan. God kicked their Lucifer, God kicked them out, and those once holy angels became filthy, hairy demons. We don't know how many there are, but here's the good news. We know there are twice as many holy angels than demonic evil spirits. So, what do we do with all that? We put on the full armor of God. We speak the truth in love. We know that there's going to be backlash. And as preachers, we stand up and speak up for the truth. I said yesterday, and it's worth reiterating, if you go to a church and nothing has been said, either from the pulpit or in a church newsletter or in some kind of email correspondence with the church concerning the funeral service for Charlie Kirk, the memorial service, where the gospel was shared. I was sent an email. I read it this morning, responded from somebody that follows us on From His Heart and said, you know, I had this conversation with a pastor friend of mine, I think a worship pastor friend of mine, and the person was quoting this pastor that said, what you saw at the Charlie Kirk Memorial was nothing more than Christian nationalism. It has nothing to do with the Jesus of the Bible and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, good night. If you couldn't see that that was a service given to the worship of Jesus Christ, where the gospel was clearly presented, where people were told about God's Son who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, and the importance of repentance, and you could watch that and not get any of that, well, you are blind as a bat. This person was asking me, Pastor Jeff, what do I say to this person? I said, I don't think there's much you can say to them, but you can pray for them. The Apostle Paul said, and if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. The devil has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And how do you combat the blindness, blinded by the lies? That's how people are blinded. How do you combat that? With the truth. And so we speak the truth in love, tell people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Why? Because God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Acts chapter 17. That's what Paul said to the Athenians there on Mars Hill. So God is now declaring that all men everywhere should repent and put their faith and trust in Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, I'd love to hear from you. And we have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you, sir. And I'm telling you, I have my Bible open and a pen and a notebook in my hand when I get on your show. I listen to your show. I really do. And Jeremiah is one of my favorite scriptures. So I called in because this is really a beautiful scripture and shows how you have to listen to what the Lord is saying. He says, I pray to the Lord, O Lord God, you yourself made the heavens and earth by your great power and with your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Then you go over to verse 25. Yet you, Lord God, have said to me, purchase the field and call in witnesses. Even though the city has been handed over the Chaldeans, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah. Look, I am the Lord, the God over every creature. Is anything too difficult for me? To me, that is, I love Jeremiah. I love, but anyway, you know, that's what called in to say. There's nothing too difficult for him, but it's got to be the Lord's word.
Yes. That's exactly right. And, you know, the wonderful thing, God is such a, I mean, he is so much greater than our minds can comprehend. He is so much more gracious and loving and kind than our minds can comprehend. And so, you know, when you think about the wickedness of Nineveh and how when they repented, the Lord did not destroy them because he does not want to destroy. He wants to save. And what he wants from people is that they would repent. And God's Old Testament people in Judah, if they had repented and listened to Jeremiah, he wouldn't have destroyed them, but they didn't. And so, and sadly, that's how we tend to follow too as a society. We blow God off. We say no to his will, his way, his words. And, it doesn't end well because God is trying to get our attention. Well, I appreciate you so much, Linda. Thank you for calling in. You just encouraged my heart. And so have a great day and God bless you. Well, we have Marco on the line from Texas. Marco, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
I love you, brother. My question is, when we're putting up the armor of God and we have that spiritual battle, what flags, red flags do you see, or how do you discern beside between a Judas, between a prodigal son that maybe needs to come back, or between somebody who still hasn't given their life to the Lord? And the reason I ask for that question is, how do I discern to protect my flock, to protect my kids? I don't want certain entities around them, but I want to know how do I armor up and how do I use those tools?
Yeah. Very good question, Marco. Well, I think so Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. I think the more we do cognitively and consciously put on the armor of God and make sure that we're walking in the light with Jesus and we're dealing with sin in our own life and then checking out, you know, things that are kids, our congregation are listening to and reading and those kinds of things, that we can sense, hey, this is a little off, because the devil comes at us. He's not just a liar among many liars. He's a master liar. And so he's going to come with something that sounds good, this third wayism, you know, that was so critical to Tim Keller, which my mind doesn't work in those ways. Things are true or false. They're right or wrong. They're black or white. There are gray areas, meat sacrificed to idols, gray areas in the Christian life, but those are not the majority. Those are the minority of things. And so I just think arming yourself with the truth and then praying to the Lord. Lord, if you hear something and somebody that's very, very popular and what they're saying, Lord, show me, is this true or is this not? Give me wisdom. James 1:5, he promises he'll give us wisdom. But I think that the more we immerse ourselves in the Word and in the truth of God's Word and seeing life from a biblical perspective, Marco, the more we can sense I'm not sure exactly what's wrong with this teaching or this preaching that I heard. Something's wrong with it. Something is missing. And I think with a lot of it, as I mentioned that one guy's sermon on Genesis 1:27, it's the apologetic tone that comes out is so repulsive to me, because as a herald of the Word of God, you know, we're a herald for the King. And when the king says, this is what you say, okay, king, I'll say it, but I really don't want to say it because that's not going to be received well. And I'd like to edit that for you, king, if I could, because I can say it in a way that would be much more palatable. That is not our business. We speak for the king, thus says the Lord, and we say it with all confidence and all conviction because we know that our God is good. Our God loves people. Everything he says is true and right and good. And so we don't have to apologize for the Word of God. We don't have to apologize for the stands that Scripture takes and the commands that the Lord gives us. So I hope that's helpful, Marco. That's a tough question you asked, and it kind of can have lots of different answers. But I think it always goes back to the Word of God.
Amen, amen.
All right, brother. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. Well, we have Marty on the line from Iowa. Marty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, thank you so much. And you made a comment about Charlie Kirk, and you're wondering what he was on Israel. I think you're going to be you're going to love it, what he said about Israel. And the fact that he also said, just like America, Israel has a lot of problems, and no, we don't promote that. They have the gay rights march there. They have a very high rate of abortion there, and of course we don't stand up for that. But it's God's country, and the fact that you and I get to be Christians, it was all designed this way. We are grafted in, and God has a plan for Israel. It will always be there. And I just love, I've been watching Charlie to the point where my wife is going, okay, that's enough. And then now she's watching him, and we're both sitting in the living room watching Charlie Kirk stuff. And yes. And I'm just so excited with what God is doing with this. And you can ask almost anyone, what do you think of what happened to Charlie? And you start a spiritual conversation. It is incredible that the hand of God is doing this. It's amazing.
Amen. That's a great word, Marty. Yeah, I think more people are listening to Charlie Kirk than ever before. I saw something online that said, somebody was saying, I'd never heard of Charlie Kirk before his assassination, but then I started checking out YouTube videos and listening to his debates and, impacted their life. As it says concerning Abel, even though he's dead, he still speaks. And Charlie Kirk is speaking more loudly now than maybe ever before. And so we give the Lord praise for that. Hey, listen, you don't have to live a long life to have an impactful life. Jesus said of John the Baptist, who was also killed at 31 years of age, of those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. What a statement. So thanks for calling in, Marty. Frank, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. We ran out of time. As far as healing goes, at First Baptist Texarkana, when somebody is sick, we do get together. We pray. We lay hands on them. We pray for God to heal. We know that we don't have individually the gift of healing, but God is the one who heals. And so we do what the Scripture says in James 5 and ask the Lord to bring healing. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out this day. It's all you have to live is this day. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you. Boldly share it, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.